Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I'm going to talk to you tonight for a few moments on the subject, the difference between us and them. And there is a difference. We're living in a world that doesn't want to make a difference. Everybody's the same. Nobody wins. Everybody ties. Everybody gets a trophy. But when you study the Word of God, there is great distinction between us and them. And you say, who is us and them? Jesus said the evil and the good, the righteous and the unrighteous, the saved and the lost, the goat and the sheep, the tares and the wheat. The list is absolutely endless. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You may be seated. The difference between us and them. You know, it's very vital that we learn the Scripture. It's also just as vital that we are led by the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit reveals his word to us and unwraps what he is saying. To read the Word of God like a novel is to miss its meaning and sometimes receive a total misconception of what God is saying. The context is always extremely valuable. This verse, just to be read casually and superficially, can mislead you. What a verse! It seems to fly in the face of everything Christians believe about the faithfulness of God concerning being the Father and the rewarder to his children. It seems to defy our faith and destroy our hope and render us spiritually helpless. If there is no difference between the good and the evil as far as they are blessed, if the sun really shines on the evil and the good just the same, if the rain really falls on the good and the evil just the same, a casual reading of this verse can negate our faith into fatalism, to leave us with no desire to ask, no desire to seek, no desire or motivation to knock. We are prone to make the fatal mistake that Israel made in Malachi 3:14, when they said, what is it to serve God? What is the profit to keep his word? And it is vain to serve God. That's what Israel said about God in their false conclusion. This verse in context is really Jesus commissioning us to distinguish ourselves, to be set apart for God's blessing. I refuse to join the chorus of unbelievers, dejected by doubt, marooned by false hope. Refuse to say the conclusions about our living God are just the same as the world, but rather to seek to join the disciples and the apostles and the prophets with the consensus that God is a great God. He's a magnificent God, a merciful God. He's a God of great generosity, a giving God, a rewarding God, a blessing God. He is a God beyond enough. He is a lavish God. He's a God that really does fling open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings beyond our capacity to hold and receive. He really is a God that overflows the empty cup till it is beyond its boundaries. So tonight, let me reconcile this verse with hundreds of others that seem to be in radical contrast with this text. They're really not. They are just an enlightenment of what Jesus was really saying. This is written to produce gratitude in the sinner. But more than that, every sinner ought to be grateful that regardless of the fact that they have not chosen to follow Christ, the sun does shine on them. The rain does fall on them. The flowers do bloom in their yard. Gravity does extend its hold on them. They're not flung into outer space. On and on are the blessings to even those people that are not Christians and not followers of God in a temporal climate. And so it is a time to produce gratitude in the sinner. But that's not the real text that Jesus is speaking about. This is really an explanation to the justified. It's not written not just to the justified, but to isolate the energized. Those that say, just a moment, I am not reasonably sure that I can just be an also run. It's not just in my nature to be like everybody else. I'm a standout Christian. I'm a person that demands a little more. I'm a person that desires a whole lot more. I am the person that stretches. I am the person that expands the boundaries. And I want you to see that in this text tonight. It's important to note that this fifth chapter of Matthew is the second mile chapter. You have to read the whole chapter to see what Jesus was talking about when he said, whosoever should compel them to go a mile, go with him twain. This chapter, this context is the second mile context. You can go a mile and get justified, but you can go a second mile and literally be overwhelmed with the blessing of Almighty God. That's what Christ is saying. The first mile is to keep pace with the sinner. Just expect and accept the equal reign with the sinner. Just accept the indiscriminate rations of life, no more, no less than what the Bible calls the evil. I refuse to live life at the same level of the evil. I am not evil. I have been bought with a price. I have been called out. I have been set apart. I have been extended promises. I refuse to run neck and neck, shoulder to shoulder, and to link arms with the evil and say, this is the best that I can expect. No, I have in me an unction, an urgency to go the second mile, to receive what God will give to those that extend themselves. I decree to receive all the blessings. That means all the rain that the evil do, but also demand the blessings of the second mile. I want their sunshine and their rain, but friend, I also want things that they'll never taste of, because God has put in me an appetite they evidently don't have, but has also given me commandments with promise that they have not embraced that I have. And so my life ought to be drastically different than those that are evil, those that are placid, those that are unconcerned, those that are uncommitted, those that have never made Jesus the Lord of their life. There ought to be distinctions in my life that are so drastically different from those that are evil by Jesus' own definition. And friend, I want to embrace that. And so very quickly, I want to talk about three things that I do to receive the waters of blessing that the evil simply don't do. Number one, the evil are dependent upon the rain every day of their life. If it doesn't rain, they simply do not get the sustenance of life. If it doesn't rain on them, they simply have to endure in the condition they are. They can't expect dramatic change. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I'm living in a position and place that even if it does not rain, my expectation does not welter in the face of the fact that the skies are blue and there is no cloud, no lightning, no wind, no precipitation. But I can do something about that. Because I find that the psalmist, in the very first psalm, the third verse, gives me instructions that I have made applicable to my life. And the Bible said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not planted in a desert somewhere that is totally dependent upon the rain of indiscriminate blessing, but the truth is that my roots run deep. The Bible gives us an injunction about Israel, said you have left Egypt, but your roots are still in Egypt. And I see people every day in church pews that have come to the house of God and gone through all the right antics. But the truth is, their roots are still in Egypt. They're still in the world. They still really like the clubbing. They still really like the life of the world. Friend, I have not had that desire for a long time because I am planted by the river. My roots not only go to the soil, but they actually draw in and they web in to the river, to no matter what happens in the circumstance of the sky. I have a source, and that source is what the Bible calls the rivers of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I am planted. The number one thing that a Christian should do when they get saved in the first, foremost, and embryonic stage of their life is that they need to become planted. Friend, the fact that you are here on a Wednesday night is flat a miracle. You're not here by accident. You're here by a perfectly laid plan. You knew when you got up this morning you would be here. Most of you knew last week you would be here. You don't live your life in a haphazard life way and say, I hope it rains and I hope the blessings come to me. You are people that have got a design on blessing. You've got a target on goodness. And you say, this I will have in my life because the Word of God has given me a pattern. It's given me a paradigm. It's given me a recipe to where I do not have to live as the evil do and just be a victim or victor according to the rain that falls, but I will be planted. If you're here on a Wednesday night, there's a good chance that you're not a hitchhiker. You're not simply somebody that is extra baggage in the kingdom of God, but you are rooted and grounded in the kingdom of Almighty God. And those people that are rooted and grounded, those people that are planted, they are not done so by accident. It is by design. It's by decision. I'm going to plant myself in the Word of God. I'm going to plant myself in the house of God. I'm going to plant myself in the will of God. And in doing so, praise God, I will be like a tree planted by the river. Whether it rains or not, I'm going to be greatly blessed. There's a difference between me and those that choose the world. There is a difference between those that what Jesus calls evil and those that are good. Not good by our own flesh, but good because we made a decision to make the good Father our Lord and Savior. And He lives in our life. And so we are planted by what the Bible calls not river singular, but rivers plural. I have a river that I have access to that flows from beneath the tabernacle door. And every day I receive from that river that flows from God's church. Not only that, I have a river that flows from my belly, which is God's Holy Spirit. That's not accidental. It is by design. I ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I ask God to plant me in a group of people that believe the Word of God. For I realize that I have power in God, but I have more power when two or three gather together. I have greater power when two shall touch anything. I have great power and access when one, two, and three suddenly become a multitude, and a one puts a flight, 1,000 to flight, and two puts 10,000 to flight. I'm not here by accident. I'm here because I am planted. You and I are planted side by side. We grow together. Do you understand that even in the horticulture, that a tree cannot bring forth fruit without another tree? It has to be pollinated, and you pollinate me when I come to the house of God. When I plant myself with other people of like precious faith, it means that what they're believing for, I'm going to receive. And what I'm believing for, they're going to receive. It's the cross-pollination of the Holy Spirit. I am planted. I'm not just waiting on the weatherman. It doesn't matter what the weatherman says because I am planted by the river, thank God. And friend, if you're here tonight, if you've been here a week, a month, if you've been here a few years, you have been assaged by every possible wind that can possibly blow against you. People have whispered in your ear. People have tried to flatter you out of this church. People have tried to scare you out of this church. People have tried to threaten you out of this church. People have tried to woo you out of this church. But for some reason unknown to me, with 1,000 choices, you've said no, no, 1,000 times. I am planted here, and I believe that if my roots are allowed to go down deep in this place, that my life will be fruitful and I will be the fulfillment of Psalm 1 in my life. The river of your God is what you are planted in. The river of His Spirit. The river of His Word. The river of your church. The river of your ministry. All of those have a factor in making you fruitful when other people are totally barren. I refuse to be barren in a barren land. Praise God, I'm going to be fruitful whether it rains or not. Come sunshine or rain, come windstorm or tornado, I am going to bear fruit. fruit, because my fruit does not come from the climate of this culture. My fruit comes from the very root of the Word of Almighty God that established me, and it tells me that no weapon, no foe, no problem, no circumstance, no situation can deny me. Praise God, because I am born to be productive in Jesus' name. Praise God. The adversary, usually through people, is daily trying to uproot you. But friend, it is by determination that you say, I will not be moved. I am planted. I know where God called me. I know what God told me. And you cannot flatter me or scare me out of the root system that God has involved me for. The benefits of the river, equally timely rain. Oh, friend, it's awful wonderful when it rains. But if you are planted by the river, the benefits are equal to that of a rainstorm, because your roots are drawing from that river. The Bible said you three things. You'll bring forth fruit. Your leaf will not wither. And whatsoever you do will prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm depending on that my life is going to bring forth fruit in every way, spiritually, physically, psychologically, financially, in every way. I am going to bring forth fruit. And not only that, his leaf will not wither. I know so many people that used to have a ministry. I don't want to be put in the category anything about used to. I used to have a ministry. I used to be a Christian. I used to be a pastor. I used to have money in the bank. I used to have health. My family used to live for God. The sad thing that I have to blot out of my mind are the people that I know that used to be victorious in the Lord, and tonight they are vagabonds in the spirit. Their lives are destitute. Their children are far from God, and you see no produce of the fruit in their life. That's not going to happen to me, because I have made up a mind that I will not let my leaf wither. It only withers because you don't have a source. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a source. It doesn't take Christian television to keep me going. It doesn't take my favorite preacher or my favorite song. I am now planted by the river, and my roots are in the land. And praise God, I know that beyond the shadow of Almighty God, that God is able to do everything that he said he will do. And he said that my leaf will not wither, and I'm calling that done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is saying that to somebody in this building. Are you planted in the things of God? And so there are three things, those of us that are good instead of evil, that are righteous instead of unrighteous. And number one, we are planted. The second thing the Bible tells us about, it tells us about the prophet that was totally outnumbered by the Moabites. And they said, there's no way we can stand against them. And he said, God, please tell me what to do. And God told him what to do. You know what it was? To dig ditches. That's the difference between the good and the evil. We experience the same rain that they experience, but God gives us the ingenuity, the insight, and the wisdom when to dig ditches. Because if you dig ditches, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, you will conserve the rain that falls that those that don't know God never conserve. And so the Bible said that Israel dug the ditches. He said, you won't see the wind and you won't see the rain, but he said, your ditches will be filled with water in the morning. And in the morning, they were filled with water. And the Bible said, not only did they drink from the ditches and sustain themselves and their children and their animals, this is what I like. The Bible said that the Moabites, which greatly outnumbered them, looked on the water in the ditches, and they didn't see it as water, but they saw it as blood. It was reflected as the blood. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll plant yourself by the river, if you will develop the ministry of digging ditches. What is digging ditches in our time? It's your ministry. You might not be saved, saved by works. But I can tell you this, you are blessed by works. If you'll find a ministry and stick with it, if you'll find a ministry and dig deep, sometimes it's time to dig your ditch, redig your well. And the Bible said the Moabites saw that water as blood. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you we are different than those that are evil, those that are unjust, because we are the justified. We are what God calls the good. The reason why? Because we have dug the ditches. It sustained us. But not only that, the enemy sees it as the blood. I can tell you today that there is nothing that the devil is more fearful of than the blood of Almighty Jesus Christ. Because praise God, that blood, it blots out every transgression. It quiets every accusation. I am different from the world because I am covered in the blood from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And the earth might shake, and the floods might come, and the windstorms might occur, and they might have prairie fires, and they might have devastation of every side. But I am going to prosper. Why is it? Because the enemy sees me, and he realizes that I have dug my ditches, and the blood of Jesus Christ is always on my side. So it doesn't matter what the world is doing, I'm going to be blessed. And so the number one thing is, we are different than them because we literally have been planted by the river. And secondly, we know how to dig ditches to retain the blessings of God in our life. Every day, I don't see a whole array of miracles. I see some, I suppose, every day. But praise God, every day I have ditches that are filled with the water of God. I don't always see the rain, but somehow God always keeps me a supply. And the third thing is, when Elijah decided that the famine was to end, he said to the man, the servant, he said, go out and see what you can see. And the servant went out to see what he could see. He came back and he said, I see nothing. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to be able to sow seed to your need. If you study this 18th chapter and the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, you'll realize that Elijah did exactly that. He sowed the seed to his need. What they needed more than anything was a rainstorm. They were in a tremendous famine. But he said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put the sacrifice there on the altar. I'm going to dig the trench around that. But now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sow the seed to my need. They were in desperation for a bucket of water, a glass of water. But somehow the prophet of God found four barrels of water and said, pour it around that sacrifice. Make that sacrifice wet. That was his seed. And when they said, oh man, we've sacrificed, he said, do it again. They did it again. They did it again. They did it three times four. 12 barrels of water. That was a sacrifice. People that are not dependent upon the culture and the climate of rain, people that are going to prosper in any circumstance and situation, have long ago learned to sow the seed to their need. The Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter of Genesis, 10 times the Bible said everything multiplies after its own kind. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just so lonely. That's because you're a friend to nobody. If you want friends, show yourself friendly. You say, I feel unloved. That's because you've never sown the seed of love. You say, I'm financially broke. That's because you're stingy and not giving. Because the Bible plainly says, if you are in a famine, here's what you do. You take that thing that is so precious, that water that is so absent, and somehow you find it and you put it on your sacrifice, and then you stand back and say, the Lord is able. Ladies and gentlemen, there's somebody in this building right now that's on the verge of a miracle, but God is speaking to you to sow seed to your need. It's the greatest expression of faith that you can possibly have when you need something to sow that very thing you need, because you see, I have need of it, but you don't have enough. I've told you countless times when we were building the building next door and we simply could not get it finished. We ran out of money. And it's a long story to make it short. The Lord spoke to me on a Friday night to go to Austin, Texas, where R.W. Shambach, whom I had never met, was preaching. I walked up on that platform and said, Brother Shambach, the Lord told me to sow this seed. It was $10,000. $10,000 in those days was like $1 million to me now. It was big money, but it's all I had. And what I needed was $1 million to finish that building next door. And so I gave him that $10,000 on a Friday. And by Monday, I had a promise of $1 million. And we finished that building. And 6 months later, R.W. Shambaugh came and dedicated that building. What was the point? The point was that I sowed my seed to my need, and God met me. And that's what God is saying. You're not like the evil. You're not dependent on the rain that falls. You are a people that are able to direct the precision blessing of God. You don't have to accept the generic blessing, but you can get exactly what you need. Some of you need a car. Some of you need a house. Some of you need a healing. There's no need to pray for money. If you're sick, the first thing you need to do is get well. Get well. Get well. Get a precision prayer. Sow to that need. You say, I'm so sick. Well, what you need to do is go pray for somebody else that's sick. I had a man one time that said, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Aurora, Illinois. I never will forget it. He said, for 20 years, he said, I've been asking God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I haven't received it. Well, number one, that's simply not God's will. Because he said, if you ask, you will receive. But he had a mental block. I said, sir, would you do me a favor? He said, what's that? I said, quit asking God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, don't ever ask him again. Don't even seek the Holy Spirit. You've sought it enough. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, see that man right down there? He said, yeah. I said, go lay your hands on him and say, God, I commanded to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I never will forget this. I was 21 years of age. He walked down that altar area. He took my advice, put his hands on that man's head and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. And when he did, the man received the Holy Ghost. But praise God, there is a boomerang blessing. I looked at the man that claimed he'd been seeking the Holy Spirit for 20 years. His hands were up in the air, and he was speaking in that same language. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're sick, pray for somebody that is sick. Get you a little bottle of oil and anoint somebody. You say, I can't get out of bed. You're watching right now. Make a phone call. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody in the next bed. Pray for somebody in the next wheelchair. What are you doing? I'm sowing seed to my need because I am not going to depend on just the generic things of life. The same thing that happens to the evil. I am the apple of God's eye. God knows me by name. I was bought with a price. I was baptized in his name. I was filled with his spirit. I was begotten by his word. I have been set apart. Praise God. And I'm going to have something happen in my life that the normal person simply does not have. I refuse to be like 7.5 billion normal people. I'm not normal. I am called out. I'm set apart. I'm made in the image of God. I'm a partaker of his divine nature, thank God. When the door opens for nobody else, it ought to open for me. When nobody else can hear heaven, I ought to hear a constant throttle of heaven speaking to me. When nobody else is getting healed, I ought to be healed. Why? Because I am in a relationship with Jesus Christ that the world is not in. To those people that say there are many ways, you're wrong and patently wrong. There is one name, one way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I've invested everything in him. He is my Father and I am his son. He is my Savior, my healer. He is the God of provision. Hallelujah. And so now Elijah says to that servant, go and look. And the Bible said he went out 7 times. And the first 6 times he came back and gave his report to Elijah. Elijah said, what do you see? Friend, I'm telling you tonight that you need to take your faith to the 7th power. For the 6th time he saw nothing. The 7th time he came back and he said, I see a little cloud as a man's hand. He didn't say, I see a cloud as a little man's hand. That's not what he said. He said, I see a little cloud as a man's hand. Why was it like a man's hand? God wanted the whole world to know that he had the power all along. But if you study the book of James, God himself said it was because Elijah prayed that the heavens opened up and the rain came down. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that we do not have to resort to the weather forecast like the normal evil people do, but we literally have the power to form the clouds of God that will bring the rain to our life. There is a reason why God said, I saved Israel by the hand of God and the hand of Gideon. Put your hand in God's hand. Join with God. God's getting ready to make it rain in somebody's life here and now. God's saying to somebody, take your faith to the seventh power. What does that mean? Seven is the number of deity. It is saying, I simply won't give up. My faith will never give up. It is the number of perseverance. I will persevere seven times. Faith to the seventh power. Look at it in the Bible. He said, walk around the walls of Jericho. You couldn't penetrate them. You couldn't tear them down. He said, walk around them seven times. Six times, nothing happened. Seven times, nothing happened. And he said, now walk around them seven times on the seventh day. And when he did, the walls of Jericho came down. There's somebody in this building. You've given up too easily. You need to go check the sky one more time. There's a cloud as a man's hand. It's been your perseverance. And praise God, God's going to open up the windows of heaven. Somebody in this building, you've marched around the walls and marched around the walls, but it's the seventh day and you need to go around the seventh time. Praise God, praise God. It's faith to the seventh power. When Naaman did not want to go down and get baptized in that river because he thought it was unclean, finally the little preacher convinced him, go down. And the Bible said he dipped seven times. The first six times, nothing happened. But that seventh time, praise God, something happened. Somebody said, oh, I don't want to be baptized. God made Naaman get baptized seven times. Why do you think you're the Lone Ranger? Be obedient to the word of God. God is saying to somebody in this building today, dip yourself seven times. March around seven times. Look to the sky seven times. You are not like the evil world. You are men and women of power. You are men that can rattle heaven. You are men that shock disciples and cause angels to stand at attention. Ladies and gentlemen, you are like a tree planted by the water. You've dug your ditch. You've seen the cloud. And praise God, get ready. The wall is falling. The rain is coming. The leprosy is going. Can you give God some praise in this house now? Oh, there is somebody. There's somebody in this building that's so near a breakthrough, so near a miracle, and the devil is trying to make you weary in the first mile. Go the second mile. He's trying to make you weary in the sixth ducking. Duck seven times. He's trying to get you to stop going around that wall. Go around it one more time. He's trying to convince you there's no need of looking. I haven't seen any sign of rain. And God is saying, look again. God is saying, you're there. You're on the verge. It's breakthrough. I can hear the ropes straining. I can hear the chains breaking. I can see the rain starting to fall. I can see the clouds forming. I can see the skin beginning to get clean. Can you stand on your feet? Lift your hands and give God some mighty praise in this house. Oh, the devil wants us to misinterpret verses and say there's no difference between us and the evil. The justified and the unjustified, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. God looks at you differently than he does the heathens of Hollywood. God looks at you differently than he does the scallywags of Washington, D.C. God looks at you differently than he does the atheist of the classroom. He said, that is my son in whom I am well pleased. He said, strain to become the children of Almighty God. He said, the whole creation groaneth now waiting for the sons to develop and to manifest themselves. I'm a son of Almighty God. And God said, come on, Steve, you can go around this wall one more time. I need you to go around this wall. Come on, Steve, you can dunk yourself one more time. Come on, Steve, you can look to the cloud one more time. Come on, come on. I have called you for such a time as this. There's somebody in this building. You've got a $50,000 miracle. It's just one day away. It's just one trip around the wall away. There's somebody in this building, praise God. You've got a miracle from cancer, a healing ready to manifest. It's just one dunk away. Don't you think that the devil is going to level every attack he can at you? Don't you think he's going to work on your brain? Don't you think he's going to send well-meaning, misguided people to you and say, well, God's trying to teach you something? No, he's not. The devil has attacked you with a disease, and you're about to have a breakthrough of deliverance and healing, but the devil has sent a messenger. He sent somebody by to tell you it's just the will of God for you to endure it. No, it ain't, honey. Break up. Get out. Stand up. Shout loud. Go down one more time. Go one more turn around Jericho. Look one more time. There's a cloud forming. Praise God. There's a miracle on the way. Can somebody give God a shout in this house tonight? Shitoko soto lovoriaha. Woo! Somebody's about to sell their house. Somebody's about to buy their house. Somebody's about to get their car. Somebody's about to be fired because they got a job that's going to double and triple their income in the next year. Praise God. God's got big things in store for you, and the devil is losing control. He's throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at you. But friend, you got to stand up and say, hey, I've got faith to the seventh power. Faith to the seventh power. I'll do it again. I'll praise one more time. I'll give God glory one more time. One more shout, one more praise, one more tithe, one more witness, one more prayer. Hallelujah. Is there somebody in this building tonight that said, hey preacher, you ain't preaching to everybody, you're preaching to somebody, and I'm that somebody, and praise God, here I come with my faith to the seventh power. I'm the person that sees the cloud. I'm the person that knows the wall is falling down. I'm the person that knows my skin is being made clean and new again in the name of Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room right now. Oh, we've been having some amazing miracles. People have had holes just healed in their heart, and the doctors say it's gone. People have had financial miracles. People have had their children saved in the last few months. God's not respecting of persons. He's respecter of people that have a relationship with him. You're not the evil, you're the good. You're not the sinner, you're the saved. You're not the unjustified, you are the justified. You need to march up to this altar right now and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, this is what I need, this is what I desire, and this is what I am going to have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room right now. Praise God. Are you satisfied with your job? Are you satisfied with your family? Is everybody in your family saved? Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with your bank account? Are you satisfied with your education? Are you satisfied with your house? Are you satisfied with your ministry? Are you satisfied? If you are, just stay where you are and be thankful. But praise God, if you're like me and you're always wanting a little more and you're always got an edge and you're always a little hungry and you're always wanting to see more, this would be a great time for you that have accomplished the justification of the first mile to extend yourself to the second mile and say, I'm going to get something today that I've never had in my life. Four of my five kids are saved, but I'm going to get the fifth one saved in Jesus' name tonight. Oh, my husband's doing better, but I'm going to make him perfect in the sight of the Lord. I'm not giving up. My marriage is doing a little better, but praise God, I'm going to make it a blessed marriage. You need to go the second mile tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm through, and you've got about 30 seconds. So whether you want to say, well, I'm full, I'm fine, I'm satisfied with my life just like it is, or to get out of your pew and come up here and said, I'm going to take my faith to the seventh power, and I'm going to change my life beginning tonight in Jesus' name. Praise God.